What's up, y'all? Respect the Chat podcast coming back like we said we would. Did a comeback episode last week. Going to come back again with another one this week. We're entering week five, baby.
Let's go.
Ryan is here.
Yo.
What's going on, dude? How was your week, okay?
Yeah, it was good. You know, work. But I always look forward to Thursday. I got a nice little routine going. You know, you get the weekend, then you watch Monday Night Football, or you don't, depending who's playing. Then you start looking into waivers, then Wednesday comes around, and then before you know it, we back to football on Thursday.
Here we go. I'm loving it. I'm happy we're back. We're going to record tonight. We're going to do a little fast break episode.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, though, we are in the Fantasy Basketball League together. Which the order was randomized?
Yes,
correct.
It was
randomized today. I got pick 6. Ryan has pick 4. Mm-hmm. Quickly, thinking about what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm thinking if the top 2 picks are pretty unanimous. I mean, it depends. Joker's gonna go top 2. If the all depends who number 1 likes, but he should go number 1. He should go number 1 pretty much every year. and then I'm assuming number 2, Pat, shout out to Pat. I'm assuming he goes SGA. If he doesn't, whoever's at 3 will probably go him, but I'm thinking either Wemby or Luka, depending who's there at 4. So that's what I'm thinking. What about you, Mike, at 6? Who are you trying to land?
I like where you're at 4 for the first, like, I think you're good too, 4 or 6. Because I think in a 10-man league, which we play in, it comes back to you pretty fast. You get a good team. Everyone gets a pretty good team. But you get a good, you know, you don't have to be too stingy with your picks, like reach too much or anything like that. So I do like your options there, really. If SGA would have fell to you, Pat is already saying he's going to take him. And I agree. Joker got to go first.
Yeah.
But Wemby or Luka is a win-win for
can't
you,
be,
you know?
Can't be mad at either one of those.
No, it's a win-win. And then if Joker don't go first and he slides and it, you know, messes things up or just like fogs things up a little bit, I think you got options. At 6, I'm going to try to go Ant Edwards or Cade Cunningham. I'd like to go like a versatile point guard, shooting guard, and almost Cunningham, correct me if I'm wrong, is almost like a forward too. He play like 3-4. I mean, he doesn't have that designation, but he could play multiple roles. And Ant is just a superstar, and I like him a lot. So one of those two guys I'm thinking right now.
Oh, yeah. Can't be mad at either one of those.
So we're going to look forward to that. We're going to try to record that. I'd like to record that, maybe get a guest or two on schedule to hop in who may be in the league. Rich and Pat are in the league. Any of the city boys in Dalen's in this? Who else?
Oh yeah,
the twins.
Big Steve, Serb.
Eve, Serb, couple
and
guys.
The twins.
Yes. So we got a good crew in there. Really good league. City boys football, great league. Basketball league, which is a subdivision again of city boys, also a good league. So we're gonna hop into the games week 5. Football's getting good.
Oh, yeah.
When we get to a little bit more in depth, when we get to our teams.
Good thing for me, Steelers are on a bye this week, so I have nothing to get in depth about this week. My fantasy team is in bye week hell, as they say, and need to make some pivots. We'll see how it goes. Let's talk through the games. Thursday night, crazy one here. Half this dang 49ers team is missing, bro. What's up with that?
Yeah, the quarterback's missing, right? The receiver's missing. A couple other guys.
Kittle's been gone. No Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
A couple guys on defense can't go. None of their receivers can go. No Juwan Jennings. No Ricky Pearsall. Oof.
Right. They're 3-1. They're going to be 3-2. I think the Rams beat them. I think Matthew Stafford has a really good game. I would definitely be firing him up. Nice little pickup, maybe if you got to take him off of waivers to start in this bye week craziness. Yeah, Rams, dude. I think the Rams are a good team. I root for the Rams every week, I feel like. They're one of those teams in the NFC them, the Buccaneers, that I like root for. I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan, but I root for them for some reason. I like their teams, coaches, quarterbacks, players. So give me the Rams in this one.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, how do you not pick on the side of the Rams with all these injuries for the 49ers? I think they get the job done. I think they win pretty handily. 8.5 is always a weird spread, especially for division games and well-coached teams. Sometimes they find a way to scheme it up and keep it close, especially with an opponent they're familiar with. But I got Rams in this one. They just look so good. Eagles game, bit of a fluke with how they let it go at the end. And we'll throw that one away for now. But, yeah, I'm firing up. I picked up DeMarcus Robinson. That just shows you where I'm at with buys this week. he's getting an opportunity to catch some passes. My mindset is they're going to be losing. They're going to have to throw the football. You know, however, I know McCaffrey's probably going to get 20 targets, but they're eventually going to have to throw the ball elsewhere. So that's my move. Threw him in the. I didn't throw him in the flex because that's one thing I learned. You never throw a Thursday guy in the flex. Don't want to eat up that spot early. I also don't really know what's going on with Bucky Irving, who's on my team. But yeah, so I got the Rams in this one too. But honestly, I kind of like the Niners to keep it close. Give me the 8.5 on the spread, but give me the Rams to win outright.
I agree with that. I think Christian McCaffrey has a good game. He's the whole team, regardless of who's the quarterback. Rams defense is good, but Christian McCaffrey, let's go.
Oh, yeah. So that brings us to week 5. We got another game bright and early on Sunday. It's going to be the Browns starting rookie Dylan Gabriel against the Vikings, who stay over in Europe. And they're 4.5 right now, I'm seeing. 4.5-point favorites, the Vikings, against the rookie. Tell me what you think about that move, Mike.
Yeah, really interested to see what Cleveland looks like, where they go from this game. I don't think they win this game. I think Minnesota wins. I think Cleveland, you know, what do they do after that? Do they then go to Shador? Shador's not talking this week. That was like something, you know, did you see that? They asked him questions, didn't even say anything.
Oh, yeah.
It's turning a little silly over there right now. We thought it was going to be a little silly coming in. These are one of the games I didn't want to spend too much time on, but I feel like we got her for a second here, and it's just because of what's going to happen to Cleveland after this.
Mm-hmm.
Do they start making moves after this, like trading some of these quarterbacks, looking to, you know, I don't know, move some of the guys in the secondary who I think could be highly valued on other teams, and they start rebuilding somewhere because they have a really good defense. Offense stinks, kind of the opposite of the Cowboys. I got Minnesota. I still don't believe in Carson Wentz. We were right. Pittsburgh had a statement game. They beat Minnesota. I think, though, Minnesota beats Cleveland. It's a close game. 3.5, that's pretty cool. I think taking Cleveland with the spread, but straight up, I go Minnesota.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there. I don't think that Dylan Gabriel is the answer to this offense. I don't think that their offense automatically looks better with him under center. He might give them a little bit of juice just with his youth, but we've seen that Viking scheme on defense requires a bright offensive mind to realize what they're doing. They run a lot of disguises, a lot of stunts. I think he's going to be sacked a lot. But that being said, they're probably going to lean on the run game. So I see them designing a lot of runs for Judkins, a lot of short passes maybe for the tight ends. But, yeah, I like what you said about it. I think the Vikings get it done. They don't have to travel. They don't have to make the travel as far. They're already over there. Hopefully they get a few of their guys back. A few of their guys went down during the Steeler game too. But, yeah, give me the Vikings in that one. Never do I have too much faith in the Browns. I know their defense is the best in the league, if not one of. But you still have to score points in the National Football League to win. So Give me the Vikings in that. Wake up bright and early for that one. Get that started with a stinky morning game. And Carson Wentz versus Dylan Gabriel. Then we move to the 1 o'clock slot. This one's real interesting to me. The assumption being, obviously, Lamar Jackson doesn't play. And that is the Texans at the Ravens. The Ravens are 1.5 point dogs, home dogs. I'm assuming that's a pick 'em. I'll go first. I mean, this Ravens team is just getting obliterated with injuries on the defensive side. Can't figure out what they're doing on offense. They don't look bad on offense. It's just, you know, when their defense out there getting 35-plus points put on them week to week, hard. It's hard to find an identity there. It's hard for them to really lean on that run game the way they want to, because they have to throw the ball since they got to keep up. I say, Mike, you shouted this out last week, and they didn't do it. But they got to give the ball to Big Two too, you know? You got to give the ball to the King, run the offense through him. He's had his struggles himself, but I think you got to get him going early. I think you got to get him involved and engaged in the game. Mike, you've had a front row seat of what Cooper Rush looks like in game. I think he's serviceable, but they're going to have to run a completely different style of offense. He can't run the Lamar Jackson style of offense. No one's believing that he's going to pull the ball back and run for 80 yards if they collapse on Derrick Henry. So that's going to be a tough one. Give me the Texans in that.
Yeah, this is a tough game. Is right. Just looking at week three, Justice Hill had 76 rushing yards. He was the rushing leader. It wasn't Lamar Jackson. It wasn't Derrick Henry. It was the backup running back, Justice Hill. That's not good. I don't think the offense looks bad either. I agree with you. Lamar is a little dinged up. They're just, you know, kind of being mum about how this is going to go with him. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I do think that Cooper Rush can handle this offense. It's definitely not going to be run the same way Lamar does. I agree with you. Kyle Hamilton missed practice this week too. Another big guy on the defensive side, so the defense is even more depleted. Man, this game is in Baltimore, right? I think that's the only thing that saves them. Give me Baltimore. Give me Baltimore. Houston, I don't know what Houston is, man. 2-3 years ago, Houston was on fire. T.J. Stroud was, you know, the next best thing, you know, as a quarterback to come out of the draft. D'Amico Ryans, you know, head coach of the year candidate. It was crazy, man. I don't know. They fell from grace. I hope they come back. I hope they figure it out. The backfield is a little bit of a shuffle over there. The receiving core is in shambles, but I still think that they score points in this game, Houston, but just not enough. I think the Ravens squeak this out. Somehow Cooper Rush gets them a win. They run Henry. They got to run Henry all game long.
Yeah, all right. If they do that, Mike, I'm with you. They can definitely take that one. The Giants take a trip down south to visit the Saints in another close pick'em game. Another weird week in the NFL. Jackson Dart versus Spencer Rattler. I saw he has a little bit of a thing, a hamstring, a knee, something like that, Mike. Jackson Dart. Seems like he's all right. Seems like he's going to be good to go. What are you thinking in this one?
Yeah, it was a little hamstring thing that popped up after the game. Figures on the week when I got to try to put in like $26. I have a weird number in case someone throws 25 to try to get him on my team. But he didn't have the greatest game, you know, it as a whole, but he did play well with running the ball, with making plays, with bringing excitement to the Giants, with, you know, especially with that huge injury from Malik Nabers. Hurts in fantasy, hurts in real football, just a superstar. Never want to see a stud guy like that who's amazing for the league get hurt. So we wish him all the best. But Dart brought that energy, man. You could see the guys were playing for him. They were hyped to have him out there. Daboll got brought back to life, man. He's seen his job flash before his eyes like 20 times already. The Giants' defense really has to come alive this game, because the Saints sneaky played Buffalo good. They showed up at that Buffalo game.
Yeah.
So the Giants got to come correct. I do think the Giants win. They do enough on defense. Dart makes some plays again. I like him coming out firing and making plays again. I got him in fantasy. I know probably a lot of people got him. And I know Giant fans are hoping he is the savior here. I think we tamper our expectations, you know, all the Giant fans out there, just tamper your expectations. Let this kid just grow, you know, let him mature as the season goes on. I would say he's your future, but you really can't tell until he gets his number one guy back too. So him and Scat, man, that is a 1-2 combo back there. You know, if they could get a little run option, throw down the field, both of them take off. I like the Giants, man, in this one. Give me Big Blue.
All right. Yeah, I like that. I'd say it's a tough one, too. It's a tough one for me because of what you just said. Saints just went into Buffalo, played them tough. Kellen Moore's been letting Spencer Rattler throw the ball, and he hasn't looked too terrible. I mean, he's kept them a little bit more competitive in certain games than I would have anticipated. I think the Giants on the road against a team that is equally struggling. I think the home field advantage here for the Saints gets the job done. Give me the Saints.
Hear me out on this real quick. Say the Saints go, you know, terrible record. Not obviously 0-17. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they sneak a win somewhere. But say they get the number one pick. Arch Manning starts catching a little more fire. And he is the guy, you know. And they do decide to take him, and he takes over, as you know, for Grandpa's team, dog. Uh-oh. What a story! What a story!
Arch and Archie,
come on, dude, come on.
Yeah, I mean the storyline is there. The road is paved. He just has to, you know, not to get into a little college ball, but he's got to show a little bit more.
Oh, he's got to show a lot more, and the Saints got to continue to be stinky. So let's see what happens.
Well, I think one of those are easier than the other, and that is Saints stanking it up. Yeah, how about another pick'em down in Carolina, Dolphins at the Panthers.
I don't mean the NFL is got to be like, what is going on here? Yeah. In week 5. Miami losing Tyreek Hill, another guy, man, superstar. Tyreek Hill, I hope you rest up. I hope all this talk that I hear on all these other podcasts I listen to, which I'm big fans of, they all just having this guy saying he's retired. No, he's 32. You know, his explosiveness is going to be gone. Really hard injury to come back from. I wonder how similar it is to Dak Prescott's. Obviously, two separate players, and one's very explosive, and the other one, you know, could just scramble around a little bit, doesn't need that explosiveness as much, which his injury is definitely going to affect in some sort. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, man, great. I hope he's not done. I'd love to see him back playing in the NFL. Miami looked good, though, man. I like the way they got Darren Waller. Let's go, man. Happy for that guy. You know, coming back from retirement, having a big game. Only was on like 26% of his snaps or something like that, but didn't work while he was in there. I think he's featured a lot more. He's super athletic. Use him as like almost like a in motion slot guy. He can get mismatches. Does Washington step up? Waddle's got to step up. A-Chain's a little dinged up, you know, here and there at times. I don't think he can take a full load. Maybe they get Ollie Gordon involved. I do like Miami. Carolina is another one of those teams that are like, I don't know what they're going to do. Another team that, like, are you going to keep Bryce Young moving on? You got this dude T-Mac who's a stud, but can you get him the ball? The offense is, you know, basically run through him. They're in trouble.
Yeah, and it's sad to say because looking at the end of the season last year, end of the season last year for the Carolina Panthers, it looked like you're starting to figure it out a little bit. It looked like, okay, this is the guy that they were hoping that he was. They were putting together a nice run. And beginning of this season, it's just, you know, it's looked like more the same from the beginning of last season. So I don't know if they have to bench him, you know, to get him to bench him real quick, a couple weeks, and then, okay, now you're back. I don't know. They still got Dalton over there. They still Dalton shows him the way once one or two more weeks. I don't know. But yeah, this is a tough one for me. I think with Miami traveling up to Carolina, missing Tyreek Hill. I agree with you, Mike. I don't think his career is over, but it is going to be for a guy you don't earn the nickname Cheetah without having speed as one of your ultimate weapons, and it'll be interesting to see how he comes back, how he rehabs, if he still has that drive. I know the situation in Miami hasn't been the best for him the last 2 seasons, so to still have that drive to put in that grueling work and rehab to get to where he needs to be for his speed and explosiveness, like you mentioned, that's going to be interesting to watch. Again, get well soon, Cheetah. League's better with him in it, but I'm gonna go with the Panthers in this one. I think they get Tet McMillan rolling. You mentioned Tet. I think Miami isn't anything special. I think these are both two teams that really need to figure it out. And Carolina plays significantly better at home than they do on the road. It statistically is just a fact. So I'll take Bryce Young. I'll back them in this one. I think Tet has a nice game. We move on to another divisional matchup, actually, is Raiders at the Colts. This one, not a pick 'em. Colts are 6.5 point favorites at home. Danny Dimes, Indiana Jones, and the crew come back home after a tough road match in which could have won that game. Be staring at a 4-0 Colts team who just beat a very good Rams team if, AD Mitchell doesn't obviously drop that ball. Everyone's been talking about it. It's a mistake. It happens. Can't do it in that moment, but you gotta learn from it this week. And then that holding penalty on the Jonathan Taylor run, just two killer penalties, or two killer plays. I'm gonna go with the Colts in this one. I think they get right back on track. I think they still look great. I think Daniel Jones still looks great. Played a tough road match, threw a couple picks, but that's what it's going to happen. Every quarterback's going to throw picks. You're trying to keep your team in the game. One of them came late in the game, but this Raiders team is reeling right now. They just lost their left tackle. I think Genty slows down a little bit in this game with that missing, and the Colts defense is sneaky good too. So give me the Colts in that.
Yeah, I like the Colts too. I like Danny Dimes, Indiana Jones to come back and them to win and get back on track because I think this is a good team. Like I said, I think they run well from the head coach down to the players, man. Everyone does their job. They want to play for each other. It's revival there in Indianapolis, and it's good to see. The only thing that worries me is, can they withstand, a team like the Raiders who hasn't done anything and then they come in and just like surprise them? I don't want to see something like that where they come in and Geno Smith figured it out, where Genty starts going crazy again and now they're playing like a catch-up game, the Colts early, they're down early. I could see that happening. So, the Colts need to make a statement, come back, get this win at home. Show the fans they're there. Go to 4-1, and move on to next week because I do think Genty's got to come back down to earth a little bit with losing that lineman. It's a big part of their team, and yeah, I like the Colts, man. I don't know why they're like a sleeper still to me. That one's like, all right, these guys are good, but are they good? We're not sure. Let's take it week to week, and every week they come out and they play well. Like you said, they were close to being 4-0, dude.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with them is people are still waiting for Daniel Jones to fall off the rails, the team to, go back to what people were expecting preseason. I think we just need to accept that the scheme is working. Daniel Jones is playing well. He earned that job. It wasn't given to him. He earned it in training camp. He came out, he won the job. He's looked good through 4 weeks now. And might just be a good team, sneaky team in the AFC. And I'm interested to see it. I'd like for them to be good continuing forward. So we'll see. We'll see where the weeks lead us with that. But I think we're both on the Colts, right, on that one. All right. Move on to the next game. It's the Denver Broncos coming out east to face the Philadelphia Eagles. Interesting game here. -4.5 Eagles at home. Denver starting to look a little bit better. It looked a little shaky beginning of the season. Starting to put it together. I know they've played a little bit easier of a schedule the last few games with the Burrowless Bengals. What do you got in this one, Mike?
Yeah, Denver, they won against Tennessee, lost against the Colts, lost against the Chargers, two good teams, won against the Bengals. So they beat the Titans, who stink, and the Bengals, who stink, and they lost to two good teams, and they're playing a good team. But I do think that Sean Payton is a good coach. I think it's going to be the first game where the Eagles, like, they can't just either come out like, they come out like a dud in the first half and then turn it on in the second half. Or, Barkley's going to have like, under 100 yards. A.J. Brown's not going to get touches. Smith's not going to get touches. If that's going to happen, they're going to lose. I think Denver's going to take advantage of that. They're going to keep playing the same way that they've been the Eagles and getting wins. 4-0 is 4-0. I get that. But Denver's not going to let them do that. I really don't think. So, I don't know if Denver can go into Philly and shock them, just because I think Philly has the ability to step up. I want to see what it's like when they play this team. I know Jalen Hurts could take a game over, but Sertan's going to be ready to play. Maybe he frustrates A.J. Brown a little bit more. I hope he doesn't lock him up. I really don't, because I need him in fantasy, A.J. Brown. But if he does, and that story builds even more, from his tweet from last game, a little unhappy, but then he's in the press conference saying, nah, you're taking things wrong here and there. But I think that locker room is feeling a little whispers in Philly and a little unsure of exactly what this looks like. And do we believe in the offensive coordinator? Man, I'm going to go Denver.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to avoid the Eagles this week. As a Cowboy fan, I'm going to let my Cowboy bias go against this. And I'm going to go Denver, goes in Philly, and sneaks out a win.
I like it. I mean, I think you were up to something there, Mike, with Pat Surtain's going to trail A.J. Brown around, create a little bit more frustration there. We'll see what happens with the storylines after that. But, I mean, yeah, we can't argue with how the Eagles have been winning games because they've been winning games, I mean, it's not... Do I think it's sustainable? No. You can't go out and have 0 yards passing in the second half of any game and expect to continually win, almost letting teams back in the game. And then they had to come back from down 20. Just a recipe that's unsustainable. So I agree with you, Mike. I think Denver comes over. I think they start getting rolling here. I think they needed a game like the one against the Bengals. And you forget, I mean, they were a penalty away from beating the Colts. They missed the field goal, but there was that leverage penalty. And then Colts get a 15-yard, gain from the penalty and retry on a much easier field goal. And that's the difference right there in their record. But, yeah, I think Denver gets it done. I think J.K. Dobbins has a great game on the ground. We saw last week Bucky Irving have an amazing game, both on the ground and catching passes and running out of the backfield. I think they scheme a little bit more of that up with maybe R.J. Harvey, getting him more involved. But I think the Bucks showed a little bit of the recipe in that second half of how to mount the comeback and how to stifle this Eagles team. I think Sean Payton gets the job done coaching wise, and give me the Broncos. Give me the Broncos in that one as well. So we're on the same page there. I think it's only a matter of time that we keep talking about, oh well, they're winning and it doesn't look good. Well, this week it's not gonna look good and it's gonna be a loss. So I'll go first on this next one, Mike. I'll let you get the final word. The Cowboys go to face the Jets. They go to MetLife. I mean, a winless, desperate Jets team. Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites. Dak has been looking awesome, man. He has looked great. I really do think he looks great. Pickens has looked great. He's looked hungry. Javonte Williams, Jake Ferguson, the offense, I have no complaints there. The offense is rolling. Now the defense is going to be the question here. We've seen what not so good, not so sharp defenses. Justin Fields can take advantage of that. I mean, he did it to the Steelers in week one. Our communication was lackluster. He picked us apart. He ran all over us. We got lucky at the end and, you know, caused a turnover and ended up winning that game. But Jets at home, sneaky weapons. That's going to be something to monitor. But with that said, I do have the Cowboys. I think this is one of those games where, kind of like the Packers game, the points just keep going. And it's whoever's offense is out there last. I know it's strange to say with the Jets that they're going to be able to keep up offensively. But I think healthy Justin Fields, he can get it done through the air and with his legs. They do have the weapons with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. The rookie tight end seems to be stepping up a little bit lately. And so I do think they can put up points. But I think at the end of the day, the Cowboys are just going to have too much for them offensively. I think it's a high-scoring game. Give me the Cowboys.
Nice, dude. Yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys too. I love how Dak Prescott looks. Couldn't agree more with you. I love how the offense looks. I wasn't sure what was going to happen when CD went out. George Pickens, man, I love that we got him, and he is such a dog, and he just really is focused so far in this season. Not looking past, you know, week to week with him. So I'm just pumped that he's playing really good football. Dak's playing good football. The run game and Williams looks amazing. We're going to get Overshawn back on defense. We're going to get a couple of the secondary back on defense from injured reserve. Having zero back there. Overshawn changed his number to zero this year. He's my favorite, one of my favorite players on the Cowboys. Really excited to see him in person. I'm going to be at the game. Me and Rich are going to the game. Really, really
look
cool.
That.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, pretty cool. Rich was able to get me a ticket, and me and him are going to go. We're going to sit in the box, enjoy together. And I do agree. I think it's going to be one of those scoring games again. I think the Jets are going to take advantage where they can. The secondary, Garrett Wilson's a stud. You got Breece Hall, man, he's good. He's really good. They give him the ball a lot. I think he's a three-down back, but I do see him get gassed every now and then when he's like gets a lot of those runs. So I think he's got to get his legs underneath him a little bit. But I do like the Cowboys. I like him to push, you know, one or two scores in the Jets, and then the more on the Jets than what the Jets could, and they get them. What's the spread in that? 2.5?
I think the Cowboys are 2.5-point road favorites.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like the Cowboys winning by, I hope they win by 10. That would be awesome.
Nice.
I think they touch down the field goal a little bit more than the Jets could handle.
All right, let's go. That's awesome, bro. I'm glad you're going to be able to make it out to that game. It's a nice stadium, so it's cool whenever they're able to come across, come up north, and you're able to see them a bit easier that way. You don't have to travel down to Dallas.
No. Against the Giants last year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see them against the Jets this year, so that's pretty cool.
Nice. All right, so we move into the 4 o'clock slate. With all the buys, there's a few less games on the docket. I think there's four of these afternoon games.
Nice.
First one we'll look at, Titans go to Arizona. Titans winless. You heard the comments from Cam Ward. Everyone's heard the comments from Cam Ward and saying, you know, they're trash. We'll keep it PG. He said they're trash, something like that, without the PR and the, you know. 8.5-point favorites, Arizona. Sneaky one for me. They're at home. They don't have James Conner, their starting running back. They don't have their backup running back. They got a mix of these practice squad, third string running backs. Their offense hasn't looked too productive. Give me the Titans to come and get their first win in Arizona. Sneaky, sneaky one. I think there's been a lot of media on them. I don't think they're a good team. No, they're not a good team. But I do think they have some pieces there where the NFL is the ultimate parity league, and I think this is one of those spots that, coming off all those comments from Cam Ward, a lot of media attention in the camp there, and you know that's going to be locker room fuel. I think the Titans go on the road and keep it close. They keep it inside that number. If they get the win, they get the win, but I think this is, they're more competitive in this one than they have been in the past few weeks. Give me the Titans.
Yeah, dude. Let's keep it real. Like Cam Ward said, this is going to be a win. And that team does look like what he said. And they need to get it together. And I know he just spoke his mind and he was coming right off the field and his comments, you know, his words weren't the greatest, but he's learning too. And I really like Cam Ward. And I think he is a mature dude, man. And he's good for this team. He's good for this city. He's good for the Titans. I do like them getting their first win as well. You know, they got to run the ball, man. Run the ball. Get a little bit of that pressure off Cam where he can maybe play action a little bit. He could throw some short passes. You know, the run game will help set up a deep shot down the field or something like that. But you got a young quarterback needs a good run game, solid run game. Give the ball to Tony Pollard. Let him run it. Let him catch screens or something. Just get the ball out of Cam Ward's hands and let him make plays. Arizona at home is tough. They usually play at home pretty good. But yeah, I think they're depleted a little bit. I think Kyler is going to be a lot on his shoulders. The Titans in these games sometimes get some turnovers that could really help them. So I like the Titans getting a couple of turnovers on Murray, maybe one, and it's just in a bad spot, and they put up enough points to get a win. Give me Cam Ward turning it around.
Whoa, all right. Wasn't expecting that one. We're on the same side for a couple of these here. Next one, Tampa Bay goes to Seattle. Quite the journey. Make the cross-country trip. That's a tough place to play, Seattle, man. What do you think in this?
Definitely a tough place to play. It always has been. I've said it in the past. I like Seattle, how they run their organization. I like Mike McDonald. Sam Darnold is playing, you know, decent football over there. Mm-hmm. Their running back, you know, situation with Walker and Charbonnet is like, you know, no one really gets it enough where they can get into a rhythm again. I think some backfields are good like that, like a Detroit. They figured that out, but other teams, they can't quite figure that out sometimes, that split backfield. So I do like Tampa. I like Baker. Godwin's there, coming back his second week now off the injury. Abuka is so good. He's awesome. Bucky Irving may play, right? May not play. They don't know exactly what's going to happen there.
He's not ruled out yet.
Okay, but I like White too, you know. I know for fantasy and for your sake, you want to see Bucky out there, and they're way better with him. But White can definitely handle some of that load, maybe a couple more, you know, passes out of the backfield with White as opposed to Bucky Irving. I like Tampa. I like them to show up strong in Seattle and get a win.
Oh, okay. I like it. I think Seattle's been sneaky. I think Seattle's been sneaky good. I think they're just a good team. Darnold's been doing enough to get the job done. He's got a lot of weapons on offense. I agree, though, Mike. The split backfield, to me, it works when you have complementary backs like Gibbs and Montgomery, where what Gibbs does well, his strengths, Montgomery not so much. Montgomery runs between the tackles, runs hard. Not really Gibbs' strength. When you have two backs like Ken Walker and Charbonnet who can really do it all, both of them can do it all. They can both be workhorse backs if they needed to. You kind of get in this sort of world where one game one of them goes off, the next game the other, and you just never really know who the guy is. So, to me, with the Buccaneers and last season, how Bucky Irvin kind of took over there is he had his opportunities and he just made the most of them, and he showed that he was just clearly the more talented lead back. And neither of these backs in Seattle have, I don't think, have been able to do that. I think Ken Walker more so than Charbonnet has, but then he's also had his health issues as well. So this is a 3-point spread, Seattle at home. Give me Seattle. I think coming off a tough game last week, Tampa Bay traveling across the country. Some guys are banged up. Mike Evans won't be back. Bucky, who knows? I like their chances a bit better if they have Bucky. But like you said, Rashad White is capable. But they're going to need all their weapons in this one. Give me the Seahawks. And another West Coast matchup. Commanders traveling across the country in this next one. Commanders play the LA Chargers. The Chargers are 2.5-point home favorites. I've been on this last few weeks that we've been talking, Mike. I've been a big Chargers sort of supporter this year. You know, obviously Steelers is my team, and similar to what you were saying in the beginning, this is kind of my other AFC team where I like to see them do well. I like their offensive pieces. I think their defense flies around. I think they just got caught in a bit of that cross-country early day travel with all the hype around Jackson Dart and this young team. I think they get right here. I think they get back on track. I know Jaden Daniels is going to be starting for the Commanders again. But I like the Chargers. I like what Omarion Hampton's been doing as the lead back there. I think Quentin Johnston's really good. I think I'm ready to just have that conversation that he's just probably their best wide receiver. If you're watching the games, you're seeing all the targets he's commanding. It's because he's open. He's running great routes. He's getting down the field. He's fast. He's strong. He's just physically the best built receiver there. And the targets and the production is showing. He's always been that kind of guy. It's good to see him have his confidence this year. So I'm happy with that Chargers team. I think they get the win here at home, get back on track. What are you thinking, Mike?
Yeah, the Chargers, man, they are definitely good. The Giants coming out and beating them, I didn't think that would happen at all. But like I said, the Giants had the juice that week, man. And then the Chargers just didn't play up to their standards. Jaden Daniels is back or isn't back, did we
He
say?
is. He'll be playing. Yeah, he'll be playing in this.
Okay, that's what I thought. They need him back. They need to another backfield that needs to establish a runner. Three running backs is not helping this team at all. They are getting the ball to Deebo Samuel. They're not getting Scary Terry back this week, so he'll be out another week, which hurts them too. Just pay that guy big money too, man. And he's missing weeks where they really could use him. Star, guy's a star too. So I think the Commanders are in a weird spot as well, given all of that. I like the Chargers. I like, see, this is one of those where I agree. I think them coming over and not having an identity right now and traveling across the country to the Chargers, who know exactly who they are, who have a running back who is a absolute stud.
Oh yeah.
Goodness.
Oh
I
yeah.
really ways to take him in the real NFL draft. I am very happy with Williams, but man, that guy is a stud, Omarion Hampton. Holy cow. And I think they get Keenan Allen going a little bit this game. And Quentin Johnson's playing well, but I do think they spread the ball all over the field, and then they just pound the rock to take the air out of the ball, and the Chargers win.
Like it. Yeah, we're in agreement on that one. I mean, that's going to be a fun one. This next one, not so much. We don't really got to spend so much time on this one. The Lions go to play the Bengals. I mean, Lions are 10.5-point road favorites. They get the job done. The Bengals have a lot. I mean, really disappointing year for them, you say.
I think the Bengals should trade Trey Hendrickson to the Cowboys. The Cowboys should go make a move for him right now. Pay him that 1 year. He's only got 1 year left on his deal. And if it turns out great, great. Re-sign him. He'd help our pass rush out immensely, dude. It would be huge. And And then in trade for Jameis Winston, figure that out maybe. I don't know, get a quarterback, but I say they trade Trey Hendrickson. Mm-hmm. I say he goes to the Cowboys, we get our pass rush going again, and then, you know, it helps us out. The Bengals maybe trade for a quarterback, but other than that, there's nothing to say about the Bengals besides yeah. that trading people. The Lions, man. If the Lions lose this game, it's because the Lions either turn the ball over a lot and just miss the plane or something.
I think that's the only way. Yeah. They missed the plane. And you know, the payout Lions got to go play. And I think that's the only way. That.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Lions all day. Dan Campbell, let's go.
Yep. This night matchup. Sneaky one. We talked about this last week, about the Bills overlooking the Saints to look at this matchup. Divisional game, Sunday Night Football, Bills at home against the Patriots. Patriots, Drake May has pretty much been looking like the guy that could use some refining, but I think he's shaping up to be what they were hoping he was. He's taking shots down the field. He's using his legs where he has to. I think Vrabel's a big, big part of that, giving him the confidence, having a leader like Vrabel in his locker room. I think 8.5 points is crazy. I think for a divisional game at home, I mean, Bills let the Dolphins hang around in that game. Bills let the Saints hang around for a long time here. They had to come all the way back against Lamar Jackson. I think Bills win this game at home, but 8.5 is a little crazy for me. If we're talking the line, I think the Patriots keep it inside of that. I think they figure out this. What they have to figure out is these turnovers. Whoever it's going to be, Trevion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, hold on to the ball. They got to hold on to the ball. Drake May's got to make decisions because the Bills aren't going to – the Bills are going to turn turnovers into points. Absolutely. So I think if they can limit their turnovers, they keep it close, they hang around. But give me the Bills straight up, but I'll take the Patriots against the spread.
Yeah, I think that spread is too much for a divisional game and a Mike Vrabel team – going against a division opponent who he knows he wants to beat. He wants to beat. He's planning to beat in every way possible. But I think the Bills win this one. I think the Bills go 5-0, and they really start to turn it up, man. I think they get James Cook going even more than usual, alleviate some of that early need for Josh Allen to run around and throw the ball down the field. I think when they get James Cook going early, Josh Allen could then just start finding spots in secondaries, running the ball with less guys, maybe in the box after he's throwing it down the field, and then they start grooving, man. Once they start like finding a groove and with the run game and then passing the ball down the field, Josh is moving. I really like Buffalo almost in every matchup against anybody. I just think they're such a good team. To me, that they are the best team in the AFC. Still from last week when we pick our teams after each week, who looks the best. I'm going to go Buffalo to win this game, Buffalo to continue to be the best team in the AFC, and they're going to be hard to stop, man. Honestly, hard to stop.
Yeah. I think you said it, and I think Josh Allen is continuing his MVP run. I think they just keep it going.
Yes, sir.
Say that again.
Is that the last game you said?
That's a Sunday night. So there's one last game. Finally, one Monday night game. Jeez. I don't know what this double Monday night business is all about. But finally, the bye weeks blessed us that we only need to have one Monday night game. Chiefs go to Jacksonville. Chiefs are road favorites. Looked a little bit better last week against the Ravens, but... again, we talked about the hapless Ravens and all their injuries and who knows what the heck they're doing over there. Interesting one because the Jaguars went out west and looked a little bit better than they have before. So I'm interested to see this matchup. Jags at home. What do you got in this one, Mike?
Jags at home, they did look better last week. They still have not gotten Brian Thomas Jr. involved enough, in my opinion. I think Travis Etienne is having a good season, but even with him playing well, I feel like when they're more successful, Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball down the field. He's getting his receivers touches, and he's just building that confidence and building drives. Keep that defense off the field a little bit. Give them a little rest. I do think Kansas City goes in there and gets a win, though, because I think with Xavier Worthy coming back, they look like a different team. I think Travis Kelce is finding a little bit more juice. Still got to figure out a run game. Who's the running back? And establish that and make a statement with that. I think Isaiah Pacheco really should be able to come out there and pound the rock for them, man. They need something to help Patrick Mahomes get a little more time in that pocket. I think they're slacking the offensive line side as well. So give me the Chiefs. I like how they looked last week. They beat the Ravens, who I think are a good team. And I think even though their defense is in shambles, the Ravens, they still played a really good game and they were in Arrowhead. I think that helped as well. But I do think the Chiefs look better. They're going to build, you know, off that win. Andy Reid gets a back-to-back win. Chiefs.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the Chiefs as well. I picked them last week in Arrowhead against the Ravens. So that felt nice that they got back on track there with my pick. But I would like to see this team to continue to roll. Reason being, I have Rashee Rice. He comes back in 2 weeks now. So I would like for them to figure it out a little bit, get Mahomes going, and be able to just slide my boy Rashee Rice right in there for fantasy purposes. But yeah, I think you said it. I think I need to see a little bit more out of the Jags. Still one good week against, again, a 49ers team that we see is not healthy at all. So I think they do need to get Brian Thomas Jr. involved a lot more. I like what ETN's doing, but Trevor Lawrence has to be the reason that they compete in this game. If they don't, give me the Chiefs by a little bit more than that 3. I think they win by a touchdown. So that was week 5, Mike. That was week 5 in the books. Excited. I'll probably try and get this out probably mid game here. This Thursday night game is about to start. We'll see what happens. And I know we don't really put out the video, but for those who can't see, I know Mike can see me right now, but got that Yankees lit on. Come on, Yankees. We can't lose to the Red Sox here, bro. Come on.
Yeah, big Yankee game tonight against the Red Sox, game 3. I know a lot of Yankee fans are really pulling for this one tonight, so that's going to be cool. And if they get the win, they can move on for all of you guys. So I'll definitely be rooting for them. I want to see them win over the Red Sox. Quickly before we wrap up, I just wanted to know what the Ryder Cup happened, and we're going to talk way more golf next season. Mm-hmm. But when the season comes back, USA loses again. They lost in Rome. They lose in Long Island. Really were down for most of it, made a great push on Sunday, and that was super exciting. But my question is, before we wrap up for you, what is the, in the best, you know, quick answer you can give, mm-hmm. you know, because I need different answers we can give here. What does the United States need to do to win, like to compete? Because it seems over early, way too early in these.
Well, I think first of all, our superstars have to show up. Their superstars showed up, ours did not, in the team format. Bryson and Scotty have to get wins in the group format. They have to. Scotty can't go winless in the group format. So whether that's getting him better pairings in the foursome ball or just picking players that have performed in team style matches before. I was talking to Serb, shout out to Serb. He said they need to just get some of these live guys on the U.S. side more than just Bryson. Get some of the U.S. live guys who, you know, get a Patrick Reed or, you know, a Brooks Koepka who have experience in that realm of team golf. I don't know if that's the answer because I would like to keep the best golfers that are proven on the PGA Tour, but there's a significant reason that the U.S. is way better in the individual. They just have no clue how to play as a team. And I would like to see a better I'm not putting it all on Keegan there, but I would like to see better decision-making with the pairings. Sending Harris English and Colin Morikawa back out against Rory and against Fleetwood Mac, Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy, who haven't lost ever in this style, and you put our weakest pairing out against them, you're pretty much forfeiting that one. Colin hasn't putted good all season, and Harris played well. Honestly, I'll give him that. He played well in the second, and they made it a little bit more competitive. But my shorter, you know, condensed version to a very frustrating, long-winded answer is you got to make better decisions with who gets to be involved. And then when you get them involved, we just have no chemistry. They turned over 11 of their 12 from last Ryder Cup, and the one replacement was a twin brother of the other one. So they had that consistency, but wouldn't it be electric if we could somehow just go down in 2 years and get another road one right back? Otherwise, it's going to get scary.
It is absolutely going to get scary if in 2 years we go on the road and we lose another one and go 0-3. It's going to be like when the dream team, you know, the U.S. basketball team is just like, we couldn't figure it out for a couple of years. But these are pro. I 100% agree. I think we struggle big time in the team event. Patrick Reed was a consideration, I think, for this team for that reason. He's playing pretty good on LIV, but I think that was something that stood out. And Koepka was on the team in Rome, I believe, and played okay. But yes, I do think that's an aspect that could have helped us out as well, having that team chemistry event. I do think a little bit falls on Keegan as well. I didn't like the matchups at all. And I agree. If you know that they're going to put out Fleetwood and McIlroy, you have to compete against them and take down their best team. Whatever it looks like, however you pair those two together, whoever it is. And I honestly think if that is the pair, to me, the best guys you should send out there is Scotty and Justin Thomas. Should have been together at some point. Justin Thomas is a phenomenal putter, great short game player. Scotty is a great iron player. He can get close. I think they would have matched up well with them. And you just didn't see that matchup. I also would have not, I like to see Keegan Bradley play because he is such a clutch player. Mm-hmm. And especially in events where it's like their back's against the wall or they're doubted, he's doubted. Keegan Bradley always shows. I would have liked for him to play. And let the co-captains make those matchups. I think Kevin Kisner could have definitely took care of that and the other other captains there. And I also think Kyle Morikawa shouldn't have made it, and I think that Maverick McNealy should have made the team. That young fire that this kid's been playing with on the
personality, man. They had no energy. Besides Bryson, they had no energy at all.
No, and I think J.J. Spawn coming – playing his first time, I think he played pretty good. Cam Young was amazing, dude. Awesome. That was a great move too. I honestly think, and I know DeChambeau has that firework, you know, hype the crowd, aura. So putting him first, I think was the thought, get everything going, and that was exciting, almost driving the green and everything. But I think Cam Young coming out there would have set the tone for the United States in that group. And tried to steal a win and save DeChambeau for like a group maybe where, you know you could beat them. I'm trying to think of a group that England had where I would have matched them up against. You know, maybe like a Shane Lowry, you know, and whoever he was with type matchup where you got two fiery guys like that. But the United States got to figure this out, man. This cannot happen over and over again. It just really can't. We're too talented for that. We need to show up, man. We need to show up. I think the fans need to be a little bit better in the United States too. The comments made to the European guys, especially Rory, I think we're just better than that, man. I think that as a society, we got to be better. As a golf community, we got to be better. And I really, you know, I apologize to Rory as an American towards him that really, you know, I love Rory. I think he's a great player. I think he does a lot for the game. I don't think anyone deserves those comments. on and off the golf course. There's no place for that. So, but the United States got to bounce back. Scotty, you got to get it together. Number one player in the world. Come on, man. You got to get it together in every format. So, week five, a little bit of Ryder Cup sprinkled in. Rooting for the Yankees. Big games this week. So, I'm happy we got to get
basketball mixed in there.
Yeah, a little basketball mixed in there. We're going to get more of that to you guys coming up soon. But thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. Please continue to listen to us. We're going to get more guests on in the near future.
Yes, sir.
Respect the chat. City boys, we back.
Peace.